Amen. Aren't you thankful for that mercy, that grace, that goodness? Get your Bibles out. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I just want to share a brief sermon today. I know I was only up here for about 20 to 25 minutes this morning, so I put some in the bank for next time, and we'll hit it on the next go around. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there's a good spirit of the Lord in here tonight, and obviously we come into his house expecting him to move and minister to us in the only way that he can. But I want to encourage you over the next few minutes as we look into the word that we just reflect on the cross and the blood. With his stripes we are healed. Do you believe that? 1 Corinthians 1:17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross. To us which are saved, it is the power of God. There is power in the cross. There is power in the cross. As we pray tonight, I want you to pray. Sister Judy Kaiser was just admitted to the hospital. She's in severe pain in her back, in her hip area. Can we pray that God would reach down and touch Sister Judy? And I want us to pray for Brother Steve Hoffman as well. And pray for Sister Rhonda Lee. She was discharged from the hospital today. But let's pray for those. And if you have a need, why don't you just give it to God right now as we pray right before the message tonight. Jesus, I love you, and I know that your word is true. I know that when you said in your word that with your stripes, it doesn't say only that we were healed, but it says we are healed. Thank you, Lord, that the healing virtue of your blood is still in effect in this moment, in this time, Lord, not just for the past, but it's for all days. And we pray that right now you would reach down and minister to Sister Judy, minister to her body, bring healing to her in Jesus' name. Give her that Easter miracle that we know you're capable of. Touch her right now, Lord. We pray that you would minister to Sister Rhonda. Lord, I pray that you would just give her clarity of mind, heal her body, touch her, Lord, right now. And please, God, minister to Brother Steve and all the other needs that we have, but especially Brother Steve right now. Touch him, give him encouragement, Lord. I pray that you would bless them where they're at today. We love you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated today. I thought of the marvels of man, some of the things that mankind has been able to build and construct. And how many of you have ever been to the Empire State Building? Anybody in here ever been there, there in New York? It's 60,000 tons of steel. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 200,000 cubic feet of limestone and granite. 10 million bricks were used in the construction. 730 tons of aluminum and stainless steel. That's a pretty marvelous structure. The Statue of Liberty stands 305 feet and 1 inches tall from the ground to the tip of the flame. They used 31 tons of copper, and the concrete foundation alone weighs 54 million pounds. That's a pretty amazing structure. The Gateway Arch, anybody ever been up in the arches of St. Louis or the Arch of St. Louis? 630 feet high. The exterior steel, 886 tons. The carbon interior steel, 2,157 tons. The total weight of that metal, almost 5,200 tons. The pyramids of Egypt stand 481 feet high. 2.3 million large blocks were used in building those pyramids, estimated weight of 6 million tons. It's a marvel of mankind. The Golden Gate Bridge is 1.7 miles long, 83,000 tons of steel. It weighs 887,000 tons combined weight. It's 80,000 miles of wire inside each of the steel cables that anchor that bridge. That's enough inside those cables to get around the world six times and some change. God made man with the ability to think and reason and to build such things of quality, and it's a quality within man that's non-existent in any creature to the extent that we possess as mankind. Yet man has his limits. Can I hear an amen? We have our limits. I was listening to a sermon one time, and a preacher was talking about how they introduced cocaine and heroin into society as heal-all medications in the 1800s and early 1900s. You could legally get those drugs over the counter. Finally, they realized, even after lacing some aspirin with heroin, that there was dangerous and harmful side effects to those drugs, and they were taken out and ruled illegal by the government. Why did I say that? Man has always tried to find a solution or a remedy to things of this life to eliminate the effects and the impacts of sin. But nothing man has done, nothing that we can do, nothing we can come up with is a match for the effectiveness that sin has in our lives. We can't build things high enough to get over it. We can't make medicine strong enough to escape the effects of it. And to this world, we might be, we preach something so simple like the cross, and they say that simple item, that's what it takes to get rid of sin. Yes, amen. That's what it takes. Hallelujah. See, something so simple, it causes men to say, I don't think that's powerful enough. That's foolishness. But you and I that have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we know the opposite of that is true. There is power in the cross. There's power in the cross. We've experienced the power of the cross. The simple things, the weak things, those things confound the wise. Can I talk to you for a few moments about the power of the cross? Let's talk about that for a moment. See, culture teaches us that all of these things in man, the depravity of man, the selfishness of man, the inconsistency of man, they try to teach us these things are positives. They're not negatives. They're what creates individualism and uniqueness. Everything man to us or to culture is relative. Everything's up for debate. There's no absolute truths. Anything can be changed. Culture and man, they strive to be tolerated and to be accepted. But when something pushes against that agenda, when something pushes against that agenda, they don't like it. But Jesus died on the cross, praise the Lord, so that we can live free from that ideology that things aren't true, that truth is relative, that there are no absolutes. See, the cross has power that is mighty, and that is an absolute. Can I hear an amen? Our culture is all about you, pleasing yourself, pleasing me, self-gratification. But we know that on the cross, Jesus gave himself for our justification. It wasn't about himself. He wasn't trying to get to everybody just to say, look at me, look what I give up. But he was thinking of you, and he was thinking of me when he went to the cross. He gave himself. We see on the cross how far the depths of sin will reach to destroy God's plan. Think about it. That cross was man's invention to destroy the very Son of God. They were trying their best to hush the Messiah, to stop what he was doing, to quell his power. Yet in the cross, hallelujah, we see how far God's love will reach to help fallen man. I'm thankful that there's power in the cross. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Before, we were all sinners. The encounter at the cross, though, we were living to satisfy ourselves before that moment. We're living to please ourselves. But when we have the encounter at the cross, we see the power of love that's shown there. Jesus bleeding and dying, hanging his head and crying. And you can't go to the cross without there being some type of change take place in your life. When you go to the cross, when you finally see it for what it really is, that's a beautiful cross up there. We use it as an emblem of decoration and reminder of what Jesus did. But the cross, it's something that was rough, it was rugged, it was difficult, it was harsh, it was bloody, and you can't get to that cross and really leave there unchanged. You're going to get to the cross and repent, or you're going to come to the cross and leave hardened if you don't repent. Oh, the mighty power of the cross. The power of the cross is there because it shows us the depths of the love of the Father. I remember one of my mentors telling us a story as he pastors a church there in Dallas, Texas area. But he was there preaching, and one Sunday morning, this big burly man, he comes to the church that morning with the crowd of about 400 or 500 people. I mean, this man, his life was messed up. His marriage was messed up, but his little girl that rode the bus to church, she convinced him, "Daddy, you said you promised me you'd come. You'd come see me sing. You promised me you'd come see me in this play." So that Christmas Sunday morning, he came into that church to that Christmas play to watch his little girl sing and do her part in the play. But that big, burly, rough man, he came up to the pastor that day and he was weeping and crying uncontrollably. And he said, "I don't know what it is." He said, "I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on in this place. I can't help but cry." You know what it was? It's the overwhelming power of the cross of Christ. The cross is so powerful because it shows us the depths of the love of the Father. The cross is so powerful because it shows us the willingness of the Son to endure, knowing his fate on the cross from eternity past. I know I sound like a broken record from Wednesday and this morning and today. But somebody needs to remember and needs to hear. Jesus knew before the world began that he was going to die on the cross. It wasn't plan B. It wasn't plan C. It was plan A. Numero uno. It was what he wanted to do, was willing to do, to show his love. And what that shows us is this. If Jesus was willing to go through and create man, willing to let man fall, willing to let man live for centuries in sin so he could go to the cross and die an innocent death for us, we can trust him with our lives. See, he was willing to let all these things happen so he could show the love of a Savior. Hallelujah. The cross is powerful. I don't really have points, but if you're taking notes, number three, the cross is powerful because of the blood that was shed on the cross. Answer this question: what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remedy for sin. See, there's something to be said here about the substitutionary death of the Savior. We know and understand the value of blood in a different context. We know that there is blood in our lives. If we don't have blood, we're going to die. Oh, but Jesus was willing, hallelujah, to put his own blood on the line to cleanse us from every sin and every stain. You know, think about this. If someone were to take the life of another person in cold blood, maybe someone was to come to your family and take the life of someone you love, someone you cherish. They did it on purpose. You know what? You'd want to make restitution. Take revenge. You want that price to be paid for that loved one you lost. I know that sounds barbaric, but internally, that's what we would think. At least put him in prison for life, for what he did. However, hallelujah, Jesus, he did it, hallelujah. He gave his own life so people who turn their back on him, so people who would laugh and mock and ridicule him would have an opportunity for forgiveness. It's because of the blood Jesus shed on Calvary, that even the most grotesque sinner can be saved. He gave his life for all sinners, for all sin. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with incorruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but you were redeemed with what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Another thing about that blood, we read in Revelation that in the end is how we overcome the wicked one, the accuser of the brethren. Oh, I'm thankful for the blood. How about you? When Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover their own lives with the fig leaves. But what did God do? He covered them with the skin from an animal, because the covering requires a life, requires bloodshed. Our covering for our sin required a life. The cross is powerful because the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Now, I couldn't have saved my own life. I couldn't have given my own life and expected you to be saved by my price or by my life or by my blood. It had to be the life, the blood of a sinless Savior, a spotless Lamb. You see, that first Adam, the Adams are, the first Adam, the first man, is often compared to the second Adam, Jesus. Adam came into this world perfect. Jesus, or God made him, created him perfect, without spot or without blemish. He was born of dirt. He was tempted, but he failed. And when he failed, he brought a curse upon all mankind. Death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what Adam did when he failed and when he brought the curse? He blamed his bride. He blamed his bride. He blamed Eve. He said, wasn't the woman's the one who gave me to eat? It's all her fault. And then that Adam, the first Adam, he died and he was buried. He was buried and never rose again. But the second Adam is Jesus. Praise the Lord. He wasn't born of dirt. Rather, he's the eternal Son of God. He was tempted much like the first Adam. But remember, when he was tempted by Satan, what did he do? He brought scripture, hallelujah. He brought a sword with him, and he was victorious over temptation, and he did not sin. Now, he didn't bring a curse like the first Adam. Lord, help me. He became a curse. Amen. Oh, he became a curse. Cursed is everybody who hangs on a tree. He became a curse for us, and he didn't blame his bride. Not one time, Brother Josh, did Jesus say, Father, look down on these people. This sorry group of people are the ones I'm dying for. No, he didn't blame his bride. He took the blame for his bride. Glory to God. He did die just like the first Adam. He did die. But church, the cross is powerful because Jesus rose again. I said the cross is powerful because the second Adam, Jesus, rose again. And because he rose, the cross has power to save, to heal, to wash, and to cleanse because of the one who gave his life on the cross. On the cross, we see everything that is wrong with man. Everything, though, that is right with God. Hallelujah. See, everything man's trying to do to Jesus on the cross, trying to rip away his power, trying to destroy the promises he made, trying to make a mockery of who he claimed to be. But everything is right on there, on God's point of view. It's his love. It's his passion. It's his compassion. It's his mercy. Come on now. His mercy and his grace. And at the cross, we see this irresistible, all-consuming, encompassing love of the Father. At the cross, we see a Savior who's willing to become something that no other man could become, and dare say, Brother Brad, no man would become. I don't know if anybody in here would volunteer to say, hey, I'll die for the whole sins of all the world. Even if you tried, you couldn't do it, and you most likely wouldn't do it. But he, the perfect, spotless Son of God, became sin, come on, who knew no sin. And why did he do that? I told you this morning, because he loves us. It's no secret he could have called legions of angels to come down and rescue him from the cross. But he was willing and ready to give his life, to lay down his life for his friends. On the cross, we find that Jesus, this is another thing that makes the cross powerful. On the cross, we find that Jesus is the friend of sinners. Oh, praise the Lord. There might be people that seem like they have no friends, but you can find a friend in Jesus. You might have lived a lonely life. You might not be good at talking to people. Things might get awkward when you walk into the room, and that's okay. Jesus is your friend. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus is your friend. You might have a, Lord, help me. Everybody in your life may have walked out a time or another. Everybody you know may have turned their back on you before. Maybe it was something that you did that rightfully they had reason to reject some of the things of your life. Yet, let me tell you, church, you can find a friend in Jesus who will forgive and cleanse and walk you through to victory. Come on, walk you through to victory. He can do it because of the cross. Amen. The cross is powerful because he's a friend. Even the thief on the cross, it's a beautiful picture that there is enough power in the action of Jesus on the cross. Listen, that thief is next to Jesus. Jesus, by reading scripture, you know that both thieves took their turns, railing and accusing and making fun of the Savior. But along sometime during that course of the evening, one of those thieves realized and said, this is the Son of God. We shouldn't be making fun of him. We shouldn't be joining in with the chorus of those below us, railing accusations against him. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let me be with you in paradise. Hallelujah. After this moment and what happened, Jesus said, today, amen, you'll be with me in that place. Now listen, that thief on the cross, he didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to pray through to the Spirit and speak in tongues. He didn't have time to take communion. He didn't even have time to pray the sinner's prayer. But he believed in the Son of God as Lord and Savior, and he experienced the power of the cross. Hallelujah. The cross is powerful because the blood that was shed, the sacrifice of the Savior. How many of you know that sacrifice is still just as powerful today to save, to change, and to heal? Hallelujah. The power of the cross, it still stands today. I told you earlier about how they introduced heroin and cocaine into society in America in the 1800s and early 1900s, bringing that awful drug in as a cure-all remedy. But you know what? The cross is the remedy. You can't make it. You can't conjure up a remedy for sin. The cross, the blood, is the remedy. For the lost and the lonely, the cross is the remedy. For the least and the last, the cross is the remedy. For the addicted and the depressed, the cross is the remedy. For the diseased and possessed, the cross is the remedy. For the wounded and the broken, the cross is the remedy. For the person living in regret and continuing to live in their past, the cross is the remedy. You can fill in the blank and you'll discover the cross is the remedy. That's why the world says it's foolish. There's no power in that cross, but we know there is power in the cross. You can experience that power in your life today. Has anybody in here experienced the power of the cross? Come on, in your life, and you've been to it time and time and time again and found that there's always still power in the cross. In 2011, there was a devastating tornado that ripped through the city of Joplin, Missouri. It was the costliest tornado in U.S. history. It totaled about $2.8 billion in damage. It took the lives of 160 people, one of the deadliest tornadoes in U.S. history. But I remember my wife and I, and we may have had only Hannah. Ethan may have been a baby when that happened. He was born in 2011, so he may have been born at the time. But we were living in Sherman, Texas, and one day we decided decided we would take a trip up to Joplin and Neosho there, and we drove up there, and we were driving through Joplin after that tornado had taken place. We were driving through the familiar areas where we had been because we had lived there for a few years as I was finishing up Bible school. We drove by some places we would eat and some places that we would visit for entertainment and different playhouses and things like that. It was terrible to see where houses and businesses once stood. I mean, you could go into the middle of that city and see it seemed like for miles because all the houses had been destroyed and places of business. Nothing but rubble was left. But while we were driving through the areas that were mostly affected, there was an amazing picture of the power of the cross that was right there on one of those streets. I can't remember exactly where it was, but as we drove up to a place where a church used to stand, that church had been torn apart, but there in the forefront of that building was a cross, a steel structure that stood and remained. Hallelujah. It withstood the impact of the storm. It hadn't been twisted or bent or any type of damage done to it. 200 mile hour winds could not destroy the cross. Hallelujah. And I know that's something simple, but the power of the cross still stands today. If you've ever been in a tornado, I know one came through here a few years back. You know the power and severity of that phenomena. Praise the Lord. And if a cross in the natural can withstand something like that, church, listen, there is nothing hell can do to destroy the work of the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If our music could come, we're going to get ready to partake in communion. The power of the cross is so powerful because it allows you and I to become who God intends for us to be. The church, we've been preaching you were made for more. Many times we preach that sermon over the course of this year since January. And that's only possible through the power of the cross. For those dealing with sin tonight, you can come to the cross and find forgiveness and restoration. For those dealing with sickness tonight, do you believe there's still power in the blood that Jesus shed to heal your body? I believe that with all my heart. You can take a trip back to the cross, and every one of those stripes represents healing that's available to you and I. For those dealing with something like bitterness or grief or struggles within your mind, fears and anxiety, let me tell you, you can find power and hope in the cross of Calvary. Amen. There's healing for even that. There's forgiveness for all things wrong in your life. Hallelujah. In conclusion, let me tell you one last thing that makes the cross so powerful. Let me tell you what it is. Because the one who died on the cross rose again on the third day, and the tomb is empty. Praise the Lord. You know what you find when you go to the empty tomb? Can I tell you just a few quick things, four or five things? When you go to the empty tomb, you find life. Hallelujah. Those ladies went there expecting to find death. But what they see inside there, that angel who said, hey, he's not here. He's risen. You can find life in the empty tomb. Paul said it like this. He said, if we be dead with Christ, then we shall also live with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Hallelujah. In him we live and move and have our being. You know what else you find in the empty tomb? You find promise in the empty tomb. We read it earlier. I believe Brother Micah did. He said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching, the truth, is in vain, and your faith is in vain. But church, you can find promise in the empty tomb. You find power in the empty tomb. If he was able to overcome death, hell, and the grave, everything Satan could throw at him, Jesus had the power to overcome. You can find power in the empty tomb. We have power over the enemy. Can I hear an amen? Over every attack. No weapon formed against us can prosper because the tomb is empty. There is power in the empty tomb. Praise the Lord. And we find victory in the empty tomb. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, you can find hope in the empty tomb. Praise the Lord. All of that culminates to the power of the cross, the power of the blood. And we're living proof of what the mercy of God can do. Praise the Lord. Can we stand together? I want our ushers to come, prepare to serve the elements. Here's how we're going to do this evening. I want us to take a few minutes here. And I want you to just reflect on what you're about to partake in as they sing this chorus, this song. Then after we partake in the elements of communion, I want us just to spend some time around the altar worshiping a risen Savior. And as we do that, the youth choir will sing after they partake in communion. And then you can just leave at your leisure. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's lift our hands and glorify Him just for a moment. Thank Him for the power of the cross, the wonderful, merciful Savior, the wonder-working power of the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank You, Jesus, for the cross. Thank You that You took my place on the cross. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Not of good that I have done. Lord, nothing I could do. Oh, but Lord, You gave it all for me. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. As they sing, hallelujah, we practice open communion here at our church. That means you don't have to be a member of Union Pentecostal Church to partake in the Lord's Supper. The only requirement is that you must have a right relationship with the Lord, meaning there's nothing between you and God. You're walking with Him, hallelujah, in agreement. He saved your soul and set you free from sin. Amen. If you've partaken in that event in your life, a born-again believer, you're definitely eligible tonight to partake in communion with us. So come. Amen. Let's gather in the front. As you gather through those middle aisles, grab the elements as they sing. Praise the Lord.
Tree.
sing that chorus one more time. Oh, yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus, blood
shed for me.
Born of love, saving blood.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Cleansing blood from Calvary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We do this as a memorial to remember. How many of you know we tend to forget things? We tend to forget dates. We tend to forget important moments. We tend to forget appointments and significant events in our lives. And we need reminders every now and then. And this, what we're doing right here, is a reminder of the precious blood and the power. Amen. Praise the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Heath, would you pray over the bread tonight? Amen. Let's eat the bread. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For that sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord. Can we just pray together over the blood? Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave it all. Lord, even in the garden, when you prayed, your sweat became as great drops of blood. Lord, you endured such beatings. Lord, you endured such horrible persecution. Wrongfully, but Lord, it was in your plan. Hallelujah. Thank you for this precious blood. Oh, that cleanses every stain, washes us white as snow, makes us new creatures. Thank you, Lord, that your blood, your royal blood, is made available to us to flow through our veins. We praise you for that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter where we come from or what we've done. Your blood, hallelujah, is for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's partake of the cup tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the choir, youth choir, come, get ready to get in place. Amen. Can you just sing that chorus again one more time as they, about the precious blood, the redeeming blood. And then they're going to lead us in a song. Amen. As they sing this song, I want us just to spend some time around the altar just worshiping and thanking the Lord for this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe pray about some things in your life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Maybe you need healing. Hallelujah. Right now would be a good time. Hallelujah, to begin to call on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, the blood, redeeming blood, Jesus' blood, shed for me.